What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022. A win a Wednesday on a Tuesday. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one, at Tim Geddes.
Let's Tim host, Greg. I love our commitment to the kind of funny bits that it's still Widow Wednesday on a Tuesday when Wit is not part of it. Hey man, it's just the best.
We did it. We moved it. We made it happen. It's got to be that way. And I want you to know my dedication to you, Tim Geddes, because we've talked before. We don't do the show enough. We don't get to do enough things together, which I know sounds ridiculous, but it's true. We don't actually do a lot of content together. We just have to be in meetings all the time together. Gary Wit hit me up about 9:38 and was like, hey, my thing got done early. If you want, I can still come on, but I totally understand if you're committed. And I'm like, we are committed. We are committed to Tim Geddes being here. Because Tim's having a hell of a week. Kicked it off with Monday. Had a great episode of Blessing. Lots of Square Enix stuff to talk about. Mm-hmm. Now you're here. Lots of other stuff to talk about. But how are you, Tim? What is happening in the core of your soul?
Oh, I'm really good. There's a lot of great stuff, and including the fact that I got to see Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness last night. We got to go to a screener.
And now we're going to go full spoilers.
Full spoilers? No, definitely would never do that to you guys. But a spoiler-free review is going up later today on the Kinda Funny screencast, so that's exciting. But that's not all. I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I just want to say it. I got to interview Reggie with you guys. The one and only Reggie came to the Kinda Funny Games cast. We hung out. We talked. He put out a book. It was a fantastic interview. Everyone's being so nice to me today. This is like I haven't had a moment like this in a while, Greg, where I woke up and my Twitter was blowing up. And I was just like, what's going on? Like, I hope this isn't a bad thing. And it wasn't bad at all. So many people like saying such nice things to me about like Maniac Pixel hit me up on Twitter and said, from Let Tim host on the Daily Fix to interviewing Reggie, I'm so proud of you, man. And I'm getting so many messages like that. The comments on the YouTube video are all saying things like that. It's just cool, man. Like, we do cool stuff here, and then every once in a while, it allows us to do even more cool shit that is just mind-blowing. That, like, from where we were to where we are now, and like, I don't know, man. So thankful to all of you out there. Thank you guys for listening and making this all happen, because it is a very, very, very blessed life.
It is a blessed life, Tim. We can't say that enough. So thank you all for making that happen on Patreon by watching subscriptions, just by, you know, just listening wherever you are. Yeah, we can't thank you enough for what you allow Kinda Funny to do and what it will continue to do, because goddamn, one day you're going to see the studio and holy shit. Yep. Still a ways up. Yep. See, well, that day's not now and it's not soon, but it's coming. Don't worry about it. COVID, lousy COVID. In fact, speaking of COVID and lousy supply chain issues, Nintendo isn't going to be selling as many Switches as they thought. The Prince of Persia remake isn't dead, but it isn't in good shape. And we now know how successful Tomb Raider it has been. We're going to talk about all this and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write it with your questions, comments, concerns about the day's news. Of course, you can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post-show we do each and every weekday. And normally, you can watch us record things like the Gamescast, PS I Love You XOXO, the Xcast, live, long before they ever go up anywhere else. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. There are plenty of free ways to support Kinda Funny. Number one, you could be watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like OM Jesus, Mike Hurley, and McSwiss87, you have a special job.
It's a new
one. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later for free on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Of course, they don't get the post show. They can't write in. They don't get the show ad free, but you still have a great time. Speaking of having a great time, Greg Way, you could be having a great time playing games on the Epic Game Store, or games that use the Epic Game Store backend, like Fortnite, Rocket League, and of course, Fall Guys. If you're playing on your PlayStation, your PC, or wherever any of those games are, please use the creator code KINDAFUNNY, all one word, so we get a little kickback from Epic. You support us, they give us some money, and everybody takes care of each other. Housekeeping for you. Officially, let's put it out there. Reggie. Yes, Reggie, at Reggie on Twitter, is on the Kinda Funny Games cast talking about his new book, Disrupting the Game, and answering all of Tim's nerdy Nintendo questions. It is a fantastic interview. Of course, it's me, Tim, Blessing, and Andy Cortez, and everybody comes in with things to ask and have opinions about. I'm the one who went through and read the book. I had a great time with the book. It was, I thought, a very touching book. Reggie, of course, an industry icon, but he does peel back the curtain a bit and talk a lot about his relationship with Iwata and really get into some personal stuff there, which I really appreciated. So you can check that out, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe, wherever you get the Kinda Funny Games cast. Please like it, subscribe to it, leave a little rating, go in and leave a review, do all that jazz. Later today, we have a spoiler-free review of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness on youtube.com/kindoffunny and on podcast services around the globe when you search for the Kinda Funny screencast. That will be great. Who's on that one, Tim?
That is going to be me, Kevin, Joey, and Matt Rohrbeck, our little Canadian maple leaf up there.
Our little Canadian maple leaf. Huh, I wonder how he feels about that one. Thank you to our other friends, the Patreon producers, Anonymous and Fargo Brady. Today we're brought to you by ExpressVPN, Chime, and Babbel, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be. I just went through puberty. And forever will be. The Roper Report. Time for some news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number 1. Prince of Persia: The Sands of Time remake is changing game developers. We'll start with the official word. Excuse me. Oh my god, this fucking game. The official word from the Prince of Persia Twitter account that put up this image slash letter. Hello, Prince of Persia fans. The development of Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time remake will now be led by Ubisoft Montreal, the very birthplace of the epic Sands of Time trilogy. The decision is an important step and the team built building upon the world achieved by Ubisoft Ubisoft Mumbai will now take the time they need to regroup on the scope of the game to deliver you the best experience for this remake of an all-time classic when it's ready. We want to thank you all for your continuous support and patience throughout the development. Rest assured that we will update you on the progress in the future.
This is Ubisoft starting work on this game with Mumbai, going down that path and then being like, no, that's not how it happened. Rewinding back to here. Now we're trying a different path through the obstacle course, Greg. I think only good news can come from this at the end of the day. I think that this is a very, very sad story. I wish it wasn't the case. I wish this game was already out and already amazing. But developing games is hard. Yeah. And I think that what we see here is a group that really tried their best. They put this in the hands of a team that was inexperienced and not ready for this. But I think it's kind of cool that they gave him that chance to try, right? Like, that sucks for us as gamers and consumers that want to play this, but I do think that it's cool that they let them try this long to get this right. And they're clearly hitting a point that it's not working out for them now, so they're moving it over to Montreal, which gives me hope of like, okay, cool, maybe now there's a chance this game actually comes out in the next 2 years and is actually good.
2 years? Come on. Here's some context for you from Tom Ivan over at VGC. The game, which has already been delayed on several occasions, was previously in development at Indian Studios, Ubisoft Pune, and Ubisoft Mumbai. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time remake has been in development for 2.5 years when it was announced in September 2020. Following a negative reaction to the game's reveal trailer, its director said Ubisoft had chosen to give the remake, quote, a unique visual treatment to make it stand out from other titles. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time remake was originally planned to release in January 2021, but it has suffered multiple delays. It was most recently scheduled to release during Ubisoft's current fiscal year, which ends March 31st, 2023, but today's announcement suggests that may no longer be the case. Ubisoft Montpellier is reportedly working on an unannounced 2.5D Prince of Persia game, which is said to take inspiration from Moon Studios' Ori series.
Okay, first off, fuck all the bad news.
Thank you, Tim. I was like, are we burying the lead? When did I don't remember ever hearing about this.
Oh my God. That sounds like a dream come true for me. That sounds incredible. I don't know that development team, but a 2.5D Prince of Persia with Ori influence? Yes, please. That sounds fantastic. But now, okay, now going back to the other thing, I still don't think what I'm saying about 2 years is that crazy. This is a remake of a fairly short game, all things considered. And it seems like from what we've seen, the biggest issues are more graphical. But like, this is far along in development already, and this was years ago. So I don't think it's that.
They've been working on it since 2018. And they're today throwing in the towel on it. I imagine you're just starting from scratch to some degree. Like, I don't know if they're coming in to fix what's happened before. If there's like, because again, if you're, especially if you're now, so many eyes have been on this. So much has happened. It's tainted meat. It's tainted meat is what they're screaming right now over at Ubisoft Montreal, right? And so you get it in there. You're going to sort through what's usable and what's not usable. I think they're going to sit down and be like, all right, we got to kind of go from scratch on this.
I think that even starting from scratch, though, like, look, I'm not a scientist, but at the end of the day, applying like remake logic of how long it takes games to be from the ground up kind of made, like a Demon's Souls or the Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 3, like, I don't think that 2 years with, it's not starting from zero, it may be starting even, like, way further back than they'd like to. Like, I think that we're going to see this in 2 years. Or we don't ever see it. I don't.
That's the other thing. Is it just vaporware that'll never actually happen? Is it Beyond Good and Evil 2? We're just never going to see this game.
But see, that's the thing. It's like this. It's the opposite of that. Beyond Good and Evil is like the highest scoped game of all time. Prince of Persia is a 8-hour PS2 game.
Yeah.
Linear.
This is the remake.
Yeah.
Get in there, get nuts. Add new stuff. I'm sure Ubisoft's trying to get me to buy some Helix credits for it. They're probably putting a nice open world map on there. So a whole bunch of different things. Maybe there's some user-generated content
gotta,
for me to go through.
A lot of bloat that you got to grind through.
And, I'm going to go fight a god for no reason. Hey, this sounds great.
You know?
Tim, while I'm here, while we're in this Ubisoft talking about Prince of Persia stuff, let's go to xfire.com, where March 21st, 2022, Tom Henderson filed this. Exclusive. Ubisoft planning massive game showcase details. And we're like, this is one that got linked to over here. Oh, Control F. 2.5D. There we go. Prince of Persia, unknown title. A second Prince of Persia title is reportedly in the works at Ubisoft, with Ubisoft Montpellier, and I'm probably butchering that, being involved in the project. The game was described as taking, quote, inspiration from Ori and will be a 2.5D game. Additional details on the title were slim, but I hope to be able to reveal more shortly. Nonetheless, it does seem that Ubisoft is actively working on a second Prince of Persia title. So not more there. Basically, the one line we already had was it, but makes sense that we missed it if it was another thing about just Ubisoft in general or whatever.
I mean, okay, Greg fucking Miller. This is the team that made Rayman Legends and Rayman Origins.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Among other games as well, like Zombie U. But we're not going to talk about that. No, we're going to focus on Rayman Legends and Rayman Origins. Hell yes. Ah. Already one of my most anticipated games. Let's go.
I wonder if that's going to keep getting pushed around, though, too, because we got to wait for this stupid game. This remake. Maybe the remake will be stupid now. I'm with you. I love Prince of Persia. You know, Prince of Persia is the game that made me stop taking piano lessons. Like, I want this to be great. I want it now. I'm greedy, I know. But then it's just the baffling thing of, man, this is why I always get weird. Next time it happens where, though, I guarantee there'll be a conversation on a podcast you listen to or just an article you'll see somewhere or maybe even a tweet where people are like, the next Marvel slate will get announced. They'll talk about the 19 Marvel movies you're getting until 2030. And somebody will be like, why don't video games do this? And this is why. Because it's just like you come out, you show your cards too early, and then anything that changes from there is a headline, a negative headline. It's a pain in the butt. Everything's got to change.
Well, I mean, in some other ways, like in my opinion, what happened here is this game is only where it's at now because of the public reception of how it looked when they first showed it.
Sure.
I feel like if they never showed that, I think it'd be a completely different story. I think this game would actually be out already. Saying it'd be great.
I was going to say, still yeah, be like, yeah, it's kind
of
yeah, ugly.
But I think the game is there. Like, it stands of time. Like, that game holds up already. Like, still, just the game itself stands up. It's not like they need to change a whole bunch of shit. If they change a whole bunch of shit, it wouldn't be Sands of Time. Like, sure, the combat's not that deep in it. I don't think that any remake of Sands of Time is going to change that.
Sure. But, I mean, it's all there. And somehow they still can't hit it, Tim. It's all there. A great game. I digress. Sands of Time or this 2.5. Number two on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. Nintendo is expecting to sell fewer Switches this year. This is Darren Bontes over at GameSpot. Nintendo is expecting a 10% decrease in Switch console sales in its current fiscal year, estimating that it will only sell 20 million units due to supply constraints. In comparison, Nintendo sold 28.83 million Switch consoles at its peak during its fiscal year 2020 and 23 million units in fiscal 2021, and had previously forecasted it would sell 23 million units during this fiscal year. So we're down 3% right there. Or I'm sorry, 3 million, the 10% they're talking about. The current global semiconductor shortage and disruptions to logistics network due to Russia's invasion of Ukraine are to blame, according to Nikkei Asia sources. The global chip shortage has made it difficult to procure microcontrollers and other products for its three Switch models, while a coronavirus outbreak in China, where the Switch is manufactured, has further amplified the supply chain issues. Nikkei's sources claim that if the Shanghai lockdown continues, Nintendo could see Switch sales fall below the 20 million mark. To make up for the potential shortfall, Nintendo plans to sell more software as it has a number of big games arriving later this year. Splatoon 3 and Pokemon Scarlet and Violet are expected to be top sellers for the company, and Mario Strikers Battle League is scheduled for summer release as well. Quote, the lineup will be at an all-time high level, a Japanese securities analyst told Nikkei. The company's latest first-party game is Nintendo Switch Sports, a collection of athletic minigames that might make you break a sweat and something expensive. Nintendo also online services that are rumored to be expanding soon with Game Boy Advance, because it's your TV. There's a whole bunch of streamers already breaking their TV playing Nintendo Switch with Game Boy Advance games rumored to join its library of virtual retro consoles. As for the rest of the world, Intel expects the chip shortage to last until 2024, as the equipment needed to manufacture products is now also facing supply problems. What a shitty timeline to live in, Tim.
Yeah, it sucks, man. And yeah, these are the new stories. This is what's going to happen. This is just the way of the world right now. I will say, at least it's not as dire as the headline might lead you to believe there. Like, there is the thing of it may fall below the 20 million mark. But if it hits that 20 million mark, that's 3 million less than they had planned. Which, sure, of course, they want to hit the 23, not 20. But, like, that's not the end of the world. And sounds like they're going to be making the money back in other ways with the software lineup. And it just is what it is.
This whole thing is, you know, it's always hard to be here, especially as we all sit and live through a pandemic and going, woe is me, Nintendo. You know what I mean? You're going to make 10% less Switches and 10% less revenue. It's not like you're not going to be able to get Switches. It's not like it's grinding to a halt stuff. But what it does, Tim, point me to is a conversation I believe we had recently on PS I Love You XOXO, Barrett Courtney on the ones and twos. I'm correct about this, right? Which was, it was a conversation from the audience. Did we see the PS5 generation lasting longer because of all this stuff? Do you want to take that to Nintendo? Do you think the Switch's life cycle lasts longer because of the fact that obviously they're making fewer, there's still more juice to get out of this apple, let alone the fact that if you want to start working on the next one, the next Switch number two, you're still going to have all these different problems to worry about?
Yeah, I actually don't think that the pandemic is going to lengthen the Switch's life cycle. I think that that's kind of part of the plan by design anyways. Like, I am firmly in the camp that I think that they're gonna make the Switch last way longer than we've ever had a Nintendo console last before. And I think that when they put out the next one, it is going to be the most crossover between generations that we've ever seen Nintendo do, where it is going to be games. There will be games that are exclusive to the new one, but I think there's going to be a big focus on backwards compatibility with the old library, and like not even just backwards compatibility, but like kind of like cross-gen release type shit. But in an even simpler way than even Xbox, where I just think it's just gonna, the game's just gonna be the one game. It's just a Nintendo Switch game. And
gotcha.
Maybe it runs better on the Switch Pro or whatever the hell, Switch 2, whatever they call it. But I just think that a lot of their strategic plans in this generation kind of point to that. And it makes a lot of sense when they have that install base now and people are buying. And like the adoption rate of games to consoles out there is unrivaled compared to any other system in history. It's not just like, oh, the one-off Wii Sports or something. It's like every single Switch title, first-party Nintendo title, has a higher rate than any other franchise, any other hardware maker. So it's like, I don't think that's going to stop. When you look at huge system seller games like Pokemon, and you look at the amount that they sold. I watched a TikTok a couple days ago that was like a chart starting in like 96, and it would just go year to year to year to year of Pokemon games being added and like how much they sold. It's really nuts to see how much the Red and Blue and Green sold, and it was like astronomical numbers. And then it kind of, and Gold and Silver as well, then it kind of goes down. There's still crazy numbers, but it's like making its way up. Once you get to the Switch generation, every Pokemon release is just like going off the damn charts, like flying crazy. And we get the Nintendo financial numbers every year, and the top 10 highest selling Switch games, like those numbers are getting astronomically high for Animal Crossing and Mario Kart. But then you got to look at it, the amount of Pokemon that are in that top 10. By the time the Switch's generation's over, I wouldn't be surprised if there are like 5+ Pokemon games in that top 10. And that top 10 isn't just any top 10. It is one of the most ridiculous top 10
Mario Kart, baby, all time. Animal Crossing, baby.
Yeah, man. Yeah, all of them. So with two Pokemon games coming out this year and having Legends already out, like they're gonna have a fantastic year financially.
And then, you know, this article mentions Nintendo Switch Sports. Blessing reviewed it, Gamescast, and I shouldn't say reviewed it, online wasn't on, he gave impressions, so he hasn't played the final thing at the time or whatever. What do you think that's gonna do in terms of sales? You think that's gonna end up like getting in there and actually making waves and being attached to this, or is it one of those things that's too middling right now? Because scores are whatever for it, but it's also nobody cares because it's sports.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but the Switch Sports is in an interesting place where I think that they're less focusing on getting good reviews and getting into those core gamer hands, and it's entirely trying to capture that audience that they had back on the Wii that a lot of them did buy Switches, right? How much are they using those Switches, though? I think that's the bigger question, is after that initial 2017 playing Mario Kart and then Smash Bros. And all that stuff, like, how can they kind of get another high attach rate product out there? And I think Switch Sports is a good one for that, specifically because I think they're going to target more, I was saying yesterday, like the Cosmopolitan audience than the IGN audience, right? Like, I imagine Nintendo's reaching out to kind of bizarre places for their marketing. And I was saying, because at the end of the day, reviews are just marketing. Like, they're not doing it out of goodwill of their hearts to have their products critiqued, right? So I think that with that, we're in a different place than we were before. But I would have bet against, and we all would have bet against, Ring Fit Adventure when they first announced that. We're like, okay, good for you guys trying to capture that Wii Sports audience. That ain't gonna work. And then look, it fucking worked. So I think Nintendo's proven time and time again that when core gamers look at some of the more like light content, fitness sports based stuff, we're like, that's not gonna work. That was lightning in a bottle back in 2006. And time after time, they're like, nope, they got the stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't be surprised if you went to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over there, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the post show we do each and every weekday. And of course, you can get the show ad-free and support us. But guess what, Jack? You're not on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to ExpressVPN for sponsoring this episode. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like walking your dog in public without securing them on a leash. Most of the time, you'll probably be fine, but what if one day your dog runs away or gets dognapped? It's better to be careful, especially when it's as simple as using ExpressVPN. We've been using ExpressVPN here at Kinda Funny for years now. Me personally, I've been using it, and I know that my internet browsing is secure. It just gives me that peace of mind that I need. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, you're on online data is not secure, but ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so they can't. And it's great. I use it on my desktop. I use it on my phone. I use it everywhere that I use the internet. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. You can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN at expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Chime for sponsoring this episode. No one likes waiting on a paycheck, especially when you've got bills due. Good thing there's Chime. Now you can get your paycheck up to 2 days early with direct deposit. That's up to 2 more days to save, pay bills, and generally just feel good about your money situation. But Chime is more than just about getting paid early. It's also an award-winning mobile app, checking account, debit card, and optional savings account. So What are you waiting for? Hopefully not your paycheck. You can get started with Chime today. Applying for a free account takes less than 2 minutes. You can get started at chime.com/KFGames. That's chime.com/KFGames. chime.com/KFGames. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA, members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. Shout out to Babbel for sponsoring this episode. For most of us, learning a second language in high school or college wasn't exactly a high point in our academic careers. Definitely not me. I took Spanish, didn't do well in it the first time, did okay the second time. You know what? We'll move on. Now, thanks to Babbel, a language learning app that's sold more than 10 million subscriptions, there's an addictively fun and easy way to learn a new language. Whether you'll be traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with family, or you just have some free time, Babbel teaches bite-sized language lessons that you'll actually use in the real world. Greg Miller has been learning French little by little, and now when he goes back home to Canada to see Jen's family, he'll be able to communicate better. Isn't that a lovely situation? Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Right now, you can save up to 60% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/kindoffunny. That's babbel.com/kindoffunny for up to 60% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life. One more time, babbel.com/kindoffunny.
Next item on the Rope Report's a sad one. Number three, a PAX East enforcer has died from COVID after the show. This is CC Jang over at Kotaku. A PAX East enforcer died from coronavirus after working at the convention last Saturday. Dawn D. Star Wood was well regarded by other enforcers who donated to the GoFundMe for her funeral, parentheses, which met its goal in a single day. The organizer for the fundraiser emphasizes that Wood had, quote, the most fun she had had in years, but her death has led some members of the gaming community to question the necessity of in-person conventions. PAX enforcers are workers who handle planning and in-person operations for the annual gaming convention. They are paid the local minimum wage and given a four-day pass for the extended weekend. According to a press comment given to FanBite, Wood had been an enforcer since 2014. According to the official PAX East website, all attendees were required to show proof of vaccination and wear face coverings while attending the event. A few days before the convention, Boston dropped its mandate for masking while on public transportation, and it's unknown how consistently masking mandates were actually enforced. Kotaku reached out to PAX East for a comment, but did not receive one by the time of publication. According to the GoFundMe page, Wood returned home sick from the convention, and her symptoms were so severe that her mother, Robin Bassett, took care of her throughout the week. Bassett called the police for a wellness check on Saturday after her daughter failed to check in with her, and they discovered that Wood had passed away overnight. The fundraiser is currently at $11,615 of its $10,000 goal, which would be used to pay for Wood's cremation and funeral expenses. Her sister, Margaret Domingo, was running the fundraiser for her funeral, but she also caught COVID from attending the convention. Their mother currently runs the fundraising page while Margaret is in the emergency room. She wrote, quote, thank you all so much for all the support and your many contributions. I wish that Dawn had known in life how very many lives she has touched, end quote. Some members of the games industry have spoken out against the necessity of in-person conventions. They were difficult to justify once companies and independent creators realized that they could run conferences online, and they've only become more contentious as E3 was canceled, COVID spread rampantly at the Game Developers Conference, and MAGFest became a spreader event. So obviously, Tim, you know, all of our love and support to Dawn, her family, and all the enforcers and people and family and friends that are affected by this, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just a reminder, just be safe out there, you know, like make sure that you don't know who you can trust, but at the same time, you know, you can trust yourself. So make sure you're just putting your best self out there and taking care of others and taking care of the people around you as much as humanly possible.
Yes.
Yeah. It's also a reminder that this affects everybody differently. When it spreads, so again, just like being careful and think about when you are going to conventions of, you know, not everybody has the same, you know, reactions to things like COVID as you do, and you got to keep that in mind while also trying to keep yourself and others safe and loved ones safe.
Yeah, and this is, you know, the new normal, which is fucked up to say and think about, but it's true of like anywhere you go now is a risk, and you have to weigh those and take every precaution you can, but also understand that you're at the mercy of everybody else around you and what they did. And then, yeah, how people are going to react to it. And this is going to go on and, you know, different immune systems and, you know, immunocompromised diseases and things like that, or immune systems. Like there's so much to weigh right now, just going to get a cup of coffee. But yeah, obviously, as the convention season ramps up and PAX continues to roll on and PAX West is coming up, obviously, and Comic-Con, so on and so forth, everybody take care of each other. Make sure you're boosted. Make sure you're vaccinated. Make sure you're taking every precaution you can. But this is a, you know, stark and cold reminder, of course, that the pandemic is not over. As much as we want it to be, as much as it might seem like it at times when you look around a restaurant and you're all chilling out, just be careful and take care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, Tim, there was news, of course, that Square Enix was getting rid of a whole bunch of studios, right? Square Enix Montreal, Eidos, Square Enix Montreal, Eidos Montreal, and then Crystal Dynamics. In part of that, we now know how Tomb Raider has sold over time. We're going to go to IGN, where George Yang will report, but Barrett will show us a little graphic. Square Enix's decision to sell a trove of franchises and studios to Embracer Group has yielded some interesting info, including the lifetime sales of the Tomb Raider franchise. Following Embracer Group's agreement to purchase Eidos Montreal, Square Enix Montreal, and Crystal Dynamics from Square Enix, the company shared a timeline of the Tomb Raider franchise. According to the timeline, Tomb Raider has sold 88 million units since its inception in 1996, with 38 million of the lifetime sales coming from the reboot trilogy alone, which includes Tomb Raider 2013, Rise of the Tomb Raider, and Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Additionally, the franchise saw more than 53 million paid mobile downloads from entries such as Lara Croft Relic Run and Lara Croft Go. Tim, as we look at this together now and can talk about it, surprising to you in any respect?
No, not really. I think this kind of adds up to about what I would expect. There's been a lot of entries in this franchise, so 88 million sounds about right. 38 million being from the reboot, that makes sense with the amount of those consoles in the wild and the interest of video games at those points in time. I think that number could have been higher if Rise of the Tomb Raider wasn't exclusive to Xbox. But I think that these numbers are pretty telling that the reboot trilogy was not a flop by any means. They definitely perform very well.
For sure. And they're great games. And that's the thing, you know, I think that has been I heard you and Blessing talk about this. I listened to Games Daily yesterday. And you talked about, you know, the fact that, you know, the exclusivity for Rise of the Tomb Raider kind of took the wind out of the sails of Tomb Raider and was on the wrong platform because obviously PlayStation fans are more attuned and ready to buy, and they know what they have when they're looking for a narrative adventure, right? A third person narrative adventure, something like that, than an Xbox necessarily. And that's true. And then I also think it's just such a sad state of affairs for how they treated this reboot trilogy, because I think that 2013 Tomb Raider was so good and so special and so different from what we knew for Tomb Raider. And then to step on the rake with Rise of the Tomb Raider and get in the way of your momentum and screw that up and piss off a PlayStation audience and make a game, you know how it always is, feel old by the time you get it over there. All right. And then for Shadow of the Tomb Raider to be this one that was Crystal, but it wasn't Crystal, right? That was the one that was being worked on by Eidos Montreal, right? And that was leaked on the subway, and that, you know, Crystal Dynamics was working on Avengers at the time. And so then you get this Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which I don't think lived up to the expectations set by Tomb Raider and Rise of the Tomb Raider, and neither did most critics. And then you find out that it was delayed for Avengers, like that it got shifted because of Avengers, and then Avengers is what it is. Like, Crystal Dynamics needs a win. You know what I mean? Like, you hope they get that out of Embracer Group. I had a lot of conversations yesterday, not on camera, about this, just with friends and colleagues talking about it, where it's like, the hope here is that, cool, you're no longer under Square Enix, who every time anybody put out a fucking video game, they would be like, or any Western studio put out a video game, didn't meet expectations. Well, it's like, well, what the fuck were your expectations for this game? Why were they so astronomical? Yada, yada, yada. You're out from underneath them. Maybe you get a chance to thrive, but like, when IO Interactive left and Square was like, you can take Hitman with you, it wouldn't be Hitman without you guys, there was such an excitement and energy to that announcement where it's like, yeah, this is awesome. They're going to make really cool shit. And you don't see that right now with Embracer Group. And it is because Embracer Group, what is Embracer Group known for? They're known for just buying a shitload of fucking studios and just having them. They're not known for putting out amazing games yet. You hope that happens. You hope that changes. They're just known for buying and buying and buying. So it's like, until they start producing and producing and producing great games, what does this mean? You know, Tim, it's hard to be excited that, okay, Crystal Dynamics isn't under Square, but now they're under another giant organization, and I don't know what they're looking for in terms of the return.
Yeah, some of the comments I saw yesterday that were like kind of going against what I was saying was just like, Tim, like you're saying that Embracer Group doesn't put out games. Like they put out way more games than Microsoft did in the last couple of years and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, quantity, quality. You guys understand what we're talking about here. Like Greg, you're totally nailing it where it's like, they need to be putting out great games
bangers
at a pretty quick clip at this point where it's like, they have so many teams and IP and all this stuff where it's like, there has to be some level of strategy shown. This is what Blessing and I were talking about. Like, I know that we got the Koch Media, whatever it is, thing during E3 last year, right? But it's like, until we get like an Embracer Group like showcase where there is an actual plan of here's all the different games, here's what you're gonna get, it's gonna feel weird and piecemeal when there's the Koch one here and then there's the THQ Nordic thing there. It's like, it doesn't feel like it's one group. It feels like it's just a bunch of mismatched shit next to each other. And mismatch shit is fine when there's kind of big tentpole moments to tie it all together, that glue. But without that, it's kind of just a lot of noise. And I feel like that's where we're at right now with Embracer. It's a lot of noise, and that's not where I want Crystal Dynamics to be.
Exactly. And I need something to hit and be put out of there. I was almost made a required reading. I love all the Gex stuff you're showing us.
They need to come out with something, and the answer is Gex. Okay,
I almost made a required reading, and I'll just shout it out here as required reading. GameSpot today, and I guess actually yesterday, it went up at 12:30 according to this timestamp. But Gabe Gerwin put up an article that says, "Who is the Embracer Group? Everything you need to know about the massive game company." So I just want to read the top part here. All right, what is Embracer Group? Let's get this out of the way first. The reason you may not recognize the Embracer Group name is that it operates several other publishers and developers with names you do recognize. At this time, Embracer Group is the parent company of major publishers like Deep Silver, THQ Nordic, and Gearbox, to name a few, as well as over 100 game studios. The company was previously known as THQ Nordic, but adopted its current name to avoid confusion following its many acquisitions. Embracer Group, when it was known as Nordic Games, was a very small operation that focused primarily on finding holes in the market it could capitalize on, such as a lack of karaoke games on Nintendo systems in the late 2000s. After acquiring smaller properties and slowly growing while keeping costs low, it entered something of a phase two. Embracer Group has grown enormously over the last several years, often by purchasing studios and franchise rights from other companies that are either letting them stay dormant or are liquidating because of bankruptcy. This is how the company came to own such original This is how the company came to own much of original THQ's catalog, including the Metro and Darksiders series. It also eventually acquired the THQ name itself, with the Nordic publishing brand becoming THQ Nordic. Following its most recent transactions, Embracer Group will have more than 14,000 employees, the majority of whom are game developers, and 124 different studios. Below, we've listed some of the prominent studios, and this is, obviously it goes on and on like this, right? But that's, in a nutshell, where we're at right now. And I think, again, to the point we're talking about, yes, you know some of these, but okay, cool. They have Deep Silver. Great, Deep Silver. We're still waiting. Like, okay, what's the next? Okay, well, what are you going to do with? All right, cool. THQ Nordic, which is putting out all the remakes and stuff. Okay, cool. Gearbox, who they just got or whatever, right? They just got Gearbox. And so it's like, you can't really credit, like, Borderlands 3 was before then. Tiny Tina is after, but like, obviously they were already working on Tiny Tina. So it's like, what is the influence of this going to be? What do these look like when they're not just putting out Kingdoms of Amalur Re-Reckoning, when they're putting out SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated, as Barrett's showing you right here, right? Like, what do the original games look like for this? And what is it like working for them? And what are the returns they want on them? There's so many questions I have about the Embracer Group that, you know, we won't know for a while. We'll have to wait for them to get there and you see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like the big ticket items are the games that we still haven't seen from them, whether it's the Time Splitters, the new Time Splitters, or is it Dead Island 2?
Sure, yeah, you can put that in there.
But it's like those are the big ones, and we don't got them. We do just get a bunch of these like ports to varying degrees of quality that destroy all humans and all that stuff. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's all you can do is speculate at this point on any of it. And yeah, like what's going to happen. And we know Crystal, obviously ahead of time, had announced you had a great point about this yesterday, Tim, that I really appreciated, of Crystal doing the awkward announcement of like, oh, we're working on another Tomb Raider, come work on it with us. And it was clearly just putting it out there so that, you know, get it out there to get stock prices or whatever, to make it more of a valuable commodity when you're trying to be acquired like that. And then the same way of like, is Square Enix just selling things off like this right now because they want to be sold off to PlayStation or whoever, as the rumors have been lately? we'll have to wait and see as acquisition season continues on.
But just keep your eyes out when there's weird announcements. There's probably a paper trail leading to something bigger.
And then here's the one I saw going around, but I didn't hear it get discussed too much yesterday. My dog Nick 96 in the chat says, will Square Enix Montreal now be called Embracer Montreal? You hope not, right? I mean, you hope not. You hope they come up with a better name than that.
It goes back to what I was saying. The Montreal studio. Embracer kind of seems to not really be the brand. And I wonder if they'll ever change that. But I imagine it won't be Embracer Montreal. They'll just come up with some other random name. But like Embracer seems to kind of just be the...
THQ Montreal.
Straight up. I think that's actually a lot more likely.
That's the thing. I guess you got to figure out where you're going to put them, where they're going to fall, where they're going to go. But time will tell, ladies and gentlemen. Number five on the Roper Report. This is a visual assignment. Sorry for everybody else there. Barrett, hit the play button and let's watch Sonic Prime's first look from Netflix over on Twitter. And then we'll read about it from IGN.
Just a second so y'all can hear the trailer as well. And then let's go over here. It's very quick. It's very quick because you know him.
Gotta go fast.
Gotta go fast.
I know what you're thinking. I'm good and powerful, apparently. Jealous?
I mean, that looks like fucking dog shit. You kidding me? What are we doing? That's like fucking garbage. Ryan Leston at IGN writes, Netflix has unveiled a brief look at Sonic Prime, the new Sonic the Hedgehog animated series. A brief new animated trailer and several images have been unveiled by Netflix, giving us a glimpse at the new Sonic the Hedgehog show, as well as several upcoming animated projects. Sonic Prime follows the legendary Blue Hedgehog on a, quote, high-octane adventure where the fate of a strange new multiverse rests in his gloved hands, end quote. That may sound like an altogether familiar premise, but it's said that Sonic Prime is more than just, quote, a race to save the universe, end quote, with Netflix explaining that Sonic will find himself on, quote, a journey of self-discovery and redemption, end quote. At the moment, details about Sonic Prime are scarce, but the show will feature 24 full episodes. Tim?
What made you laugh there?
Just a journey of self-discovery and redemption. Sonic here has a real alcohol problem. He's going to go through the ship, but AA will help him. He'll get on his feet. You know what I mean? He'll go out and save the world. He'll reunite with his strange stepdaughter. You know what I mean? There'll be a whole bunch of stuff going on there. Tails and him, they'll start some kind of detective agency. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Tim, you care about Sonic a lot. What'd you think?
I do care about Sonic a lot. This is the Sonic stuff I care about the least. It kind of just seems like a hodgepodge of like the worst elements. Like, I don't like the CG look. His feet there just seems like they're pulling from the classic design, but they're also pulling from the modern design, and it just kind of just seems like none of them add up. You even look at the logo treatment of it, like it seems more like the modern type of vibe, whereas like the screenshot Barrett has here seems like they're going for the classic infinity symbol of him running quickly and all that stuff. I don't know, it's a kid show, and I feel like this is like the vibe of it is they're trying to target the kids. There's always been multiple Sonic cartoons, and every generation's had its Sonic, whether it was Sonic X or going back to the 90s. There was the two ones. There was Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, which was more Looney Tunes like, and then there was Sonic the Hedgehog, the Saturday morning cartoon, which was fucking awesome. And I think the more important thing that everybody needs to know is Group is kickstarting a season 3 of that, and it looks fucking fantastic. They put out a trailer last week, and they had the original guy that did the theme song remake the theme song. It just looks so awesome. So as a Sonic fan, I can't be upset right now, because we are actually living in the best time.
It's feasting.
Two great movies, and Sonic Mania exists. I'm like, all right, cool. We got Sonic Frontier coming out. Is that what it is? Frontier?
I think sounds right.
And I'm semi-hopeful for that. But this gives me more Sonic Forces vibes than anything, which is not great. Also, Roger Craig Smith, not the voice of Sonic in this one. We do not know who the new voice actor is yet. Do we?
Yeah. Apparently, from reports, it's someone named Devin Christian Mack, which honestly, you know, give younger talent, the chance to be new characters. I love Roger Craig Smith. Did a great Batman in Batman Arkham Origins, get some new voices in there. I wonder when Netflix is gonna cancel this and lay off the the animators for this one.
Pretty quick.
Yeah.
Pretty quick. I don't want to be surprised. Yeah. We'll I call it. You know, I said it looked like dog shit because I don't think it looks good. But it's also like totally understand. This could look like the best fucking cartoon in the world, and I wasn't gonna watch it just because I'm not.
Well, that's the thing is,
it's a kids show. Go play. Go kids. Go enjoy Sonic. I hope everybody. Sonic. Maybe this will be. Maybe this will be Benjamin Sonic. Maybe in 3 years from now, I'll be talking to Prince Futterbean, whatever that guy's name was, the voice actor for fucking Sonic, the new voice actor. Well, he's got three names: Jonathan Taylor Thomas, who's doing the fucking name.
Prince Futterbean.
Why was that your?
I don't know. It's what I grabbed. What's the fucking name?
I lost it. I'm not on the page anymore. Hold on. I got it for you. It is. I'm losing it. Devin Christian Mack.
Close enough.
Not close whatsoever.
Devin Christian Mack. Maybe 3 years from now, Devin Christian Mack's on the show. You know, Ben's all excited for it and stuff. We're having a great time. But like. Go get them, cartoon people, whatever. I don't know.
Well, Sonic. I mean, that's the thing is, like, I don't want it to just exist because it's an IP that needs to exist. And I feel like with some of the Netflix animation stuff, that has been the case. And it, especially with Sonic, it's like the cartoons are so hit or miss with the quality, but it's like in a weird, unexpected way. The last Sonic cartoon was Sonic Boom, and was the worst Sonic game ever. Like, people that say Sonic 06 is the worst Sonic game. They're wrong. It's Sonic Boom. It is absolute garbage. There's a Let's Play that we have up on Kind of Funny Games that you can check out from like 2016. It is a horrible video game, but the show was awesome and it was super well written and it was like the exact thing that you'd want from a kid's cartoon that is like has that little extra layer of like adult humor to it. And like it's written in a way that isn't just for dumbass kids. It's for like pretty cool, smart kids. You know what I mean? Okay. Yeah, so I don't get that vibe so far from what we're seeing from this, but we also just saw 10 seconds of it.
We will see, ladies and gentlemen. I think 10 seconds is being, I think you're giving it too much there. I think you saw much less, you know, it doesn't matter.
I will not be watching this show.
You say that now, but when Kevin makes you do an in-review of it. I can't wait to see all 24 episodes of Sonic Prime featuring Pris Butterbean or whatever the fuck. But it's still so far away. If I didn't want to wait for Devin Matt Christian to show up and talk about being Sonic, where would I go right now, Tim?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah! Oh, Bear went high. I like it a lot. Out today, Red Dead Online's fastest riders can earn bonuses across Standard Open and Target races this week, alongside monthly bonuses such as double rewards on blood money contracts and free roam missions. Sifu received its first content update today on PlayStation and PC. The Sifu Spring 2022 content update brings new features ranging from difficulty settings and advanced trading mode, allowing players to train against any opponent, including bosses, a new outfit feature for the main character, including three new outfits along with many other quality of life updates and changes for the UI and controls. In honor of May the 4th, from a galaxy far, far away, lightsabers, stormtroopers, and E-11 blaster rifles have returned to Fortnite Battle Royale in Zero Build. It's time to reclaim the force by wielding lightsabers for yourself. In addition, Kylo Ren, Rey, Finn, the Imperial Stormtrooper, and more outfits will be making a reappearance in the Fortnite item shop starting today until May 17th. Then Oaken Lands. Oh, no, Oaken is the game. Oaken, I hate it when I take them from the press release and they try to get all clever with it. Oaken is on PC Early Access today. If that wasn't enough for you, ladies and gentlemen, of course, Halo Infinite Season 2 Lone Wolf starts today. Loot River is on PC, Xbox Series X. Would you howl at Loot River?
What? The Lone Wolf.
Gotcha. Halo. That makes more sense. Sorry, I was hung up on the wrong one. Yeah. Adios Amigos is on PS4 and PS5. And I think that's... No. Dungeon Defenders Awakened is on PlayStation 4 as well. And then Wildcat Gun Machine is on PC and PS4. And then that's it for today. Oh, actually, Wildcat's tomorrow. Sorry. Well, I didn't do the... You know, this weekend games from Kotaku. This Zach guy, he's asleep at the wheel now. I don't know if he did it this week, so I didn't have time to jump around and do it. So I had to jump over here and do it. And I was reading the whole thing. You know how it is.
Really snuck up on us, I'll say. Because that was one I feel like...
Do me a solid.
What?
Loot River. I saw the press release come through. They were like, we have a review code if you want. And I was like, great. I read it. And I'm like, this doesn't sound great. But then you
came out of nowhere the other day and asked for a code. I was like, oh yeah, I got one right here. And then once you did it, that brought everybody out of the beehive. Show me a trailer for Loot River and explain why I would like this game.
I don't know if this is a Greg Miller game, but I
turn off the trailer and end the show.
I forget what showcase this was from, either last year or 2 years ago. It must have been 2 years ago because I remember having this on my fantasy games list.
Wait, I have that information for you.
Last year. And so, yeah.
It was at the Guerrilla Collective, Day of the Devs, and ID at Xbox events.
Yeah, and so it seems to be this cool, like 2D top-down action game where there's a lot of puzzle elements, as you're seeing in the trailer now for video listeners, where you're moving around, like, platforms. I don't remember, like, much from it, but I remember it really stood out to Andy and I,
Let me give you some years ago.
And then we, like, did not hear anything about it, and then it was, like, out of nowhere, it was like, oh, hey, Loot River comes out in, like, 2 days. And I was like, whoa. That's cool.
The press release describes it as Souls meets Tetris's action roguelite. Receiving a lot of attention at events like Guerrilla Collective, Day of the Dev, and ID at Xbox events, Loot River sees you exploring labyrinthine, procedurally generated waterways where you will discover a rich combat system, a varied bestiary of cursed enemies, and a bounty of build-changing weapons, spells, and other loot. Harnessing the power of the relic to shift the ground beneath you, you slide around the floating pieces of ruined landscapes using these Tetris-like blocks to solve spatial exploration puzzles and as a tool in combat to manipulate enemies and control the space on which your battles take place.
Out on Game Pass.
Out on Game Pass. Xbox, PC, Game Pass. There you go. And it works on Steam Deck. So there you go.
I ask you this all the time, Greg. What's the status of your Steam Deck?
Well, you know, and I signed it up to one of, like, those 19 emails you use that you're just, like, burner emails. Like, I figure out my Steam thing. And so I have to go over there and check it every time. It's still the thing of, hey, I'm on the list. I'm getting it between April and June. You know what I mean? Gotcha. So here we are in fucking goddamn May, and I still don't have it.
Do you know that Rogue Legacy 2 works on the Steam Deck?
I really dislike that you bring that up again. You know what I mean? A game that's meant to be on the PlayStation Vita, yes, it works on the Steam Deck. And I should, you know, I should have
why
it.
Why would they put it on a dead console?
You know, because maybe it's called remembering where you came from, Barrett. You know what I mean? It's about paying it forward, paying it backward. You know what I mean? Taking care of the people that put you on the map.
I'm pretty sure the lineage was Game Boy Advance to DS.
Rogue Legacy sold all of its copies on Vita. A lot of people don't know that. But to digress, to get away from shitting on Cellar Door Games for selling out the Vita, to shit on instead somebody like Paris Lilly. Like, that's the problem with the Steam Deck information, is the fact that mine still says here, Q2, April to June. I check my email and I don't have it. And I... Ladies and gentlemen, you're a Kinda Funny fan. You've probably been here for a long time. I implore you to look back at my 15-year career and find somebody who's done more for PC gaming than I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a Steam Deck. I don't have it. Mr. PC Greg Miller, I don't have a Steam Deck. I don't have it, but Paris has one. Mr. Xbox, hosts an Xbox showcase. He gets a Steam Deck, no problem. He deserves it. This console noob over here. This plebe. And not only that, as Danny Pena from G4 has been pointing out left and right, what does Paris do with his Steam Deck? He takes photos of games loaded on the Steam Deck. This man doesn't even play them. He just takes photos of the Steam Deck with a game on the screen. He does not play them. This is embarrassing.
You can check out Paris Lilly's impressions of the Steam Deck on this recent episode of the Kinda Funny X-Cast.
Outrageous. Giving Paris Lilly a Steam Deck before Greg Miller. This is like going to Kansas and giving someone there a bar of soap. They don't know how to use it. They don't know how to appreciate it. New dates for you. Badland Party is launching on Apple Arcade May 6th. Warped Kart Racers is launching on Apple Arcade May 20th. Area Man Lives is coming to MetaQuest 2, Rift, Vive, and Steam stores May 12th. When the latest update for Krafton Inc.'s PUBG Battlegrounds releases on May 11th for PC and May 19th for consoles, players can finally claim who's the best in the world with the new 1v1 arena in training mode and the 17.2 update. What do you got for
Greg Miller?
Yeah,
Warped Kart Racers. I was like, I'm kind of interested. What could this possibly be? Guess what it is.
It's a kart racer. It's warped. I'm assuming it's probably taking things like King of the Hill, Family Guy, American Dad, other shows like that, and having them race against each other.
Huh. Huh, that's an excellent guess, Greg. You're correct.
Number one games journalist right here, ladies and gentlemen. I read the press release about it. Yeah, it's not, I wasn't sure how much time we'd have, but yeah, it's a kart racer with all your favorite Fox cartoons. It's like, okay. Why has it got such a terrible fucking name? Why wouldn't you call this animation Fox's Animation Domination Kart Racer or whatever?
Do they still call it that?
Animation I don't know, dominance. But I'm saying that would at least more someone,
yeah,
to someone that would ring a bell for why I should fucking care about this game.
Guy can't wait to race his Bobby Hill.
But here in the chat, Gas Mate, Gas Man says it. No Simpsons, no buy. I understand. You gotta have a hill to die on.
Barrett, I don't know why, because you guys are nothing alike, but I love the idea of Bobby Hill being a Barrett variant out there.
I love Bobby Hill, and if he's a variant in another multiverse situation, I would love that. That's my purse. I don't know you.
New dates for you, as I said. Did I get through all these? No, I didn't. Okay, Lovecraft's Untold Stories 2 is launching May 17th on PC, Mac, and Linux, and then Themessia will launch on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC on August 9th. Tim, clear your mind. Rapid fire question. Joel White says, what does Tim think of the new Samsung OLED TVs?
Very, very exciting stuff. Finally, OLED technology is getting a little bit competitive, which I think LG kind of needs. LG kind of holding down right now is just like the good default, especially for gamers out there. You're still going to want to go for the C2, C1, CX situation going on, because I think right now they have the best value proposition for price to size to gaming experience with all the video game focused stuff. Sony's really killing the game in terms of picture quality, in terms of movies, where you're really going to get like the best kind of frame rate and like the smoothest picture. But what's cool about Samsung right now is they got the QD OLED thing going, and we'll see how that all goes. But that's quantum dot. It means that one of OLED's biggest downfalls right now is its brightness. The peak brightness isn't that high in terms of nits, so this is allowing it to be a little bit brighter, actually a lot bit brighter. But with that pro comes some cons, where it starts to look a little bit unnatural potentially. So it's really kind of what your taste is looking for. If you're looking for more reference quality, or if you're looking for just like burn out your retina's brightness, which there's definitely appeal to.
Of course. We asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Redeem Shawshank says, the pronunciation, as I was saying, poon, is more like pune. For the developer in Ubisoft. KDG says, for clarity, Rise of Tomb Raider was only a 1-year timed exclusive that came to PlayStation 4 in 2016. For clarity, sure. I think we were just saying it was exclusive for a while on Xbox. And then Nanobiologist says, animation domination is still a thing.
Wow.
Man, remember, and I'm not talking shit if you still do, this isn't me talking shit, but remember that time in your life where Sunday nights on Fox were such a big deal to go watch The Simpsons and go watch American Dad and like fucking... If you're really old like me, watch Married with Children when it was new.
You are really
Sunday nights used to be the shit, man. Yeah, but now you got HBO.
And like throughout the week, Greg, throughout Fox, right? Like Thursday nights were always the big big nights. House MD, important shows like that. And then Sunday to...
Well, X-Files on Fridays. Remember that?
I'm really young.
You're young.
Remember watching X-Files really young because my mom really loves that show, so...
I missed out on that Sunday night experience, and I'm jealous because I got stuck with Linda Ellerbe watching Nick News.
There's nothing to hate about Linda Ellerbe, though.
Greg Miller, there's a lot to hate about Linda Ellerbe when you're a fucking 8-year-old kid and all you want to watch is some goddamn cartoons, maybe some live action prepubescent mishaps, and you get stuck with Linda Ellerbe telling you about fucking recycling.
Hey, man, you need to know about recycling. You could have saved a lot of things. You would have been recycling these whole 30 years.
Nick News fucking sucked.
Thank you, Bless. Thank you.
Yeah, Sundays were Sundays are always a great night for television. And I think it's one of those things because it's like your last chance to have a little bit of like sweetness before you go back to fucking school and hate your life.
100%.
You know what I mean? Because Friday, endless opportunities. You're having such a great time that night. Then Saturday, also a great party night, but a little bit of a twinge of sadness. Like when you do the sleepover Saturday night and then you know, you're awake at like 3 a.m. Sunday. Like, oh shit, hold on. I'm going to be fucking exhausted all Sunday. And then I got to go fucking school on Monday. Ugh.
Yeah. Lois, see, that was Clark. The worst thing. the worst thing about Nick News is it's like you're coming off that high that was SNCC on Saturday nights, right? You're fucking living, Greg. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh man, school's the next day. And then they gotta like remind you, it's like, no, motherfucker, school is now. And you're like, no.
Oh man, school sucks. Don't go, kids. Tomorrow your hosts on Wednesday will be Blessing and Janet. Thursday it's gonna be me and Tim again. Friday it will be me and Blessing. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames right now, guess what? The Lone Wolves themselves, Andy, Blessing, and Snowbike Mike are about to hot drop into Master Chief's anus and play some Halo Infinite season. And I was going to drop on them. I was making a Fortnite thing, and then I just like, well, they're going to become Master Chief. How do you become Master Chief? You go in like a puppet. They're going to go in like a puppet. That's how they're doing it. That's going to be on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You're already watching live. That's what they're doing. It'll be up later on youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays if you want to see Andy Cortez go inside Master Chief and wear him like a skin suit. Even though I guess technically in multiplayer, you're not Master Chief, right? You're your own Spartan or some shit. They didn't change that around. They didn't do the weird possession thing I'm giving you this time around. That wasn't Halo Infinite's thing. Like the infinite, there's infinite Master Chiefs, and you take them over by coming in through their butt, and you come in and then you power them like some kind of weird mech. Because I'm thinking it's more of like a spirit transfer, but the spirit goes in the butthole.
Fair.
Has 343 commented on that?
No.
Oh, hold on a second.
Uh oh.
Oh no, no, that's actually too dirty. I thought there was a good one in chat. And I was like, no, that's too dirty. I don't want that. Of course, if you want to come watch me and Tim do the post show, you can find it on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad free, and you can just have a good time supporting us and watching things like the Gamescast, Xcast, and PS I Love You XOXO live as we record them. For now, though, we got that post show to do. So until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.